Lord be with you. We have a lot of guests in the house today. Can we welcome them? If you're visiting Hope College today, I am Grace Klaus. I'm one of the chaplains here. We welcome you. We're so glad you're here. Hope students, at some point today, whether you're passing someone on the sidewalk or if you catch them after chapel, just welcome these prospective students and point them in the right direction. I also have two announcements. One is regarding the spring break immersion trips. I want to highlight two of them. One is to California. It's an urban ministry in LA, and the other is to New Mexico on the Navajo Reservation. Both of these have an educational focus, so if you're someone who's interested in working with youth and children, these would be great immersion trips to go on. You are invited strongly to sign up. Go to grow.hope.edu to do that. And then the second announcement is that this Sunday night is the final gathering of the semester. I know. It's going to be a long, hard break. But as a reminder, come dressed for that very well. It's our tradition to dress up to celebrate the end of the semester together. So I invite you to do that as well. So I want to tell you a story that happened this past April. One Saturday morning, I spent the morning weeding a plot of dirt with my friend Gary. We were scooping up shovelfuls of dirt and turning it over to prepare the ground to plant some onions. It was pretty much absent-minded work. He and I were able to talk as we weeded and worked, except that we were on high alert for this especially pernicious little weed. It looked innocent enough, just like a little piece of root or some organic matter, but this particular weed has a habit of multiplying at will and with no warning. It grows really quickly and it chokes out all the plants around it, and it puts up a fight if you try to get rid of it. If you don't remove the whole thing, or if you break it while you're pulling it up out of the ground, that little piece of root that's left will sprout and spread. So as Gary and I were talking and tilling the ground, we watched for these suspicious little roots. And in that moment, I knew exactly what the Lord meant when he said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you." This is not how it's supposed to be. Some of you here may have a more generous philosophy of weeds than I have, a philosophy that says something like, "Weeds are just wildflowers in the wrong place." I beg to differ. Weeds, I think, are a result of the fall. And I'm not talking so much about dandelions or other plants that just disrupt the purity of our manicured lawns. When I say weeds, I mean plants that work against life, that thwart our ability to grow food, to eat, to live. If you farm for a living, like my friend Gary does, you probably understand this better than the rest of us do. Weeds are a manifestation of sin and death in the body of the earth. Weeds are one sign of many that sin doesn't only reside in human hearts. Its gruesome fingers have a grip on every part of this world. And creation is crying out. Hear the words of Paul in his letter to the Romans. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I think that we humans are the only ones who feel the burden of evil and the crushing weight of death. I think that the stars and the trees and the lilies and the sparrows go blissfully about their lives praising God. But that's only half the story. As Paul indicates in Romans, creation itself is subject to futility. The trees of the field aren't always clapping their hands. Sometimes they're bending, bowing, creaking, breaking with wild winds or from bulldozers. The mountains and hills aren't always bursting into song. Sometimes they're crumbling and crying because erosion is wearing away at them, or because we level them to make way for highways and malls. Creation groans. How long, O Lord? We humans may have caused the fall, but we're not the only ones that it has enslaved. This whole world is in bondage. But all is not lost. That's right. All is not lost. Did you hear that little word in there in the midst of the bondage and the decay and the futility and the pain and the subjection? Hope. In hope that the creation itself will be set free. We here know a thing or two about hope. And so does my friend Gary, who I was weeding with back in April. Gary works at a farm in town, Eighth Day Farm. Maybe you've heard of it. What I didn't tell you about that Saturday back in April is that we were weeding a plot of ground that's in the middle of a parking lot. This parking lot, which was intended for a strip mall that's been vacated for years now. Ages ago, that piece of land was probably a forest, and then at some point, that forest was leveled to make room for a farm. And then that farm was bought, and the ground was buried under asphalt and concrete and steel. Creation groans under the weight. But a few years ago, a man full of hope named Jeff Rosing had a vision for that decaying space. He and some other really good folks tore up the parking lot, exposed the soil again, worked in some rich compost, and sowed some seeds. They did that in the hope of the redemption that is to come. Eighth Day Farm is trying to relieve some of this burden of futility from the earth. In this paved-over, lifeless ghost town, Eighth Day is bringing forth life. Even its name, Eighth Day, points to this hope. The Eighth Day is an ancient Christian term for the new day of creation, the day inaugurated by Christ's resurrection, the day of hope that is to come. Gary, Jeff, all these people at Eighth Day, they know that they're not going to fix creation. They're not going to release the world from its bondage. They're not going to eliminate all the weeds. In fact, I'm certain that as they continue to pull weeds, they groan, "How long, O Lord?" But they keep weeding. They keep tilling. They keep planting, keep harvesting, all in the hope of this new creation. Will you pray with me? Lord, with all of creation, we groan, waiting in hope for the redemption of our bodies, for the redemption of this whole world. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.